Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you. If you have a Bible, we're journeying through the book of Joshua this summer. And we find ourselves in Joshua chapter 7. If you have a Bible, an iPhone, a smartphone, a tablet, whatever it is that you have that contains the Word of God, get it to Joshua chapter 7. And I want to begin by backing up. You remember last week we talked about the great victory at Jericho, and we learned what the principles of victory are and how you have victory and that kind of thing. And this morning we're kind of going the other direction. One of the most dangerous times in the life of a believer is right after a great victory, or right after a tremendous time of success. That's a dangerous time, and how you handle that determines in large part what's going to happen in your life for the next few days, weeks, and months. So let me just jump back to chapter 6. And read the instructions that God had given to the children of Israel while they were overtaking and overrunning Jericho. Joshua chapter 6 verse 18 says, "And you by all means abstain from the accursed things, lest you become accursed, when you take of the accursed things and make the camp of Israel a curse and trouble it." Now listen to this. "But all the silver and gold and vessels of bronze and iron are consecrated to the Lord. They shall come into the treasury of the Lord." And so when the children of Israel took Jericho and began to claim Jericho as their own and possess the promised land, the spoils of victory were to go into God's treasury. All the silver, the gold, all of those things were to go into the treasury of the Lord. Now look what happens, chapter 7, verse 1. "But the children of Israel committed a trespass regarding the accursed things." Somebody say, uh-oh. "For Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed things, so the anger of the Lord burned against the children of Israel." Father, I just ask that you would give me an extra measure of your grace today. This is not one of my favorite sermons and messages to preach. But Lord, if we're going to preach the whole counsel of God, we've got to give the good along with the bad. And so I ask God that you would minister life to us through your word today. And I appreciate the time that we have together. In Jesus' name we ask it. All God's children said, amen. Amen. There are some things I love preaching on. I mean, I love to preach on heaven. And I like to preach on unity, and I like to preach on God's love and God's grace and God's mercy, and I love to do those kinds of things. But that's what's great about preaching through a book of the Bible. You run into a little bit of everything when you're doing that. And so, you know, we've got to preach the whole counsel of God, folks. Got to preach it all. Can't just pick and choose, you know, what we want. So this morning we're going to talk about sin. I used to call Brother Shep and ask him, say, "Son, what are you preaching on Sunday?" And his response was always, "Sin and I'm against it." And of course what that meant was he wasn't prepared to preach. He didn't know what he was preaching on. But that's what we're looking at this morning, is sin in the camp. And sin in the life of a believer, y'all, is a dangerous thing. It can wear a man out. It can tear up a family. And it can rip a church apart. And let me make no mistake about this. God hates sin. But do you know why God hates sin? Because of what it does to us. And I'm grateful today, and I'm a trophy of God's grace. God loves sinners. I said God loves sinners. Amen. And so we're in good shape there. But whenever we sin, God expects us to deal with it. That's what happened to Israel here. They're basking in the glow of this great victory of Jericho. Don't you love it when you're up on the mountaintop? Don't you like it when you're enjoying success after success after success? Don't you love it when God just brings Holy Ghost anointing and abundance into your life and you got victory? Don't you like it like that? Well, that's what had happened with the children of Israel. They defeated Jericho. Huge, insurmountable odds against them. Those tremendous fortified walls. And this was one of the greatest supernatural victories, really, that Israel had ever had over the city of Jericho. And then just the next city on the map in taking Canaan land and possessing all of that God had wanted Israel to have was this little city called Ai. Say Ai with me. That doesn't even sound like a good city, does it? We were driving by Cumberland City a couple of days ago, and it's kind of like that, just a little bitty, small, insignificant city. And you know what? Israel suffered a demoralizing defeat at Ai. Unbelievable, paralyzing defeat at the hands of a little bitty, small, insignificant city. And there was a reason for it. Israel had sinned in the camp. And they were to dedicate all the silver and the gold and the precious things to the Lord and put that in the Lord's treasury. And all the spoils of victory belonged to the Lord. And so after this great victory, there was a man by the name of Achan. And he had seen a beautiful garment and some silver and gold in the debris there in Jericho, and guess what he did? He took it. And he took it to his house, to his tent, buried it in the ground, and he thought he'd gotten away with that. How many of you know you can't get away with sin, right? I mean, if Jesus didn't get away with our sin, what makes us think we can? Y'all, that's good preaching right there. Let me say it again. If Jesus didn't get away with your sin and mine, what makes us think we can, right? Okay, so we're ready now. That's kind of set the table. First thing that I believe that jumps out at me here is that sin affects everybody. Sin affects all of us. And look at verse 11 and 12 in chapter 7. Israel has sinned, and they also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them. For they have even taken some of the accursed things and have both stolen and deceived, and they've also put it among their own stuff. Say stuff with me. Therefore, the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turned their backs before their enemies, because they've become doomed to destruction. Neither will I be with you anymore unless you destroy the accursed from among you. When you've got sin in the camp, brothers and sisters, it affects everybody. It affects all of us. And you say, well, Achan's just one man. I mean, what does that have to do with me? Can I just tell you, brothers and sisters, we're in this thing together. We're how many of you have heard the old slogan, we're joined at the hip? Well, we're family. And what happens to one family member happens to all the family, right? And so I think sometimes we forget that. I mean, you know, 1 Corinthians 12, 26 says, if one member suffers, all the members suffer. If one member is honored, all the members rejoice. And so sin affects all of us. It doesn't just affect me, it affects you. And it doesn't just affect you, it affects all of us. When we sin on the inside, it affects everything on the outside. Are y'all with me now? In other words, when one member grows cold, all of us can grow cold. When one member catches fire, all of us can catch fire. And when we just kind of wink at sin and turn the other way and just kind of giggle and hopefully sweep some of it up underneath the rug, it doesn't go away. It has to be dealt with. And that's what God's telling Joshua. It's time to deal with the sin in the camp. And you know what amazes me? We're always fussing about our country and our nation and the decline of morality and all of that. Can I just say something real strong here? This country's not going to get right until the church gets right. We're supposed to be salt and light. And we're supposed to be change agents in the culture. And so when we stand up and do right what's right in God's eyes, others will begin to take notice. And our county and our country will begin to look like it. And so when we got sin in the camp, it affects everybody. Say everybody with me.
Everybody.
All right, so that's what's going on here. And then sin, not all the time, but most of the time, the majority of the time, is the result of pride and prayerlessness. Look at verse 2. Now Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is beside Beth-Aven, on the east side of Bethel, and spoke to them, saying, go up and spy out the country. So the men went up and spied out Ai. And they returned to Joshua and said to him, don't let all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and attack Ai. Do not weary all the people there, for the people of Ai are few. So about 3,000 men went up there from the people, but they fled before the men of Ai. And the men of Ai struck down about 36 men, for they chased them from before the gate as far as Shebarim and struck them down on the descent. Therefore the hearts of the people melted and became like water. Then Joshua tore his clothes and fell to the earth on his face before the ark of the Lord until evening, he and the elders of Israel, and they put dust on their heads. And Joshua said, alas, Lord God, why have you brought this people over the Jordan to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us? Oh, that we had been content and dwelt on the other side of the Jordan. Oh, Lord, what shall I say when Israel turns its back before its enemies? For the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land will hear it and surround us and cut off our name from the earth. Then what will you do for your great name? You know what had happened to the Israelites? After the great victory up in Jericho, somehow they got the notion that what had been done was the result of their own wisdom and their own strength and their own power. Do you know the most dangerous time in the life of a believer is after tremendous success, after a Jesus rally? Hello? After a tremendous offering, after MoCo Day. Are y'all with me? After a tremendous time in the Lord and God's given grace, the tendency sometimes is to step back and say, wow, look what we did. And pride begins to seep in. And when that happens, you're ready for a fall. Somehow they had gotten to the point that they thought this victory was somehow responsible because of them and how wrong they were. You know, pride is probably the mother of all sin. It was pride that got Adam and Eve in trouble in the garden. It was pride that got Lucifer kicked out of heaven. And I will tell you what, it is pride that goeth before destruction and a haughty spirit before the fall. It's pride that's gotten me in trouble so many times. And you know what pride does to us? It leads to prayerlessness. It leads to prayerlessness. Now, do you see any prayer going on here in chapter 7? What did you see going on before they get into Jericho? Man, everybody's prayed up. Before they going up against insurmountable odds. And victory seems impossible. What are the children? They're crying out to God. They're praying. Joshua's prayed up. But now that they're going to Ai, you don't see any prayer going on. And I want to tell you, if there's anything good in my life, she said it just a minute ago, there's anything good in my life, if I've got anything good going on, it's not because of me, it's because of Him. Amen. And we're totally dependent on Him, whether we realize that or not. Listen, everything can be fine, and the next minute you go around the corner and everything falls apart. And we ought to be men and women of prayer, and we don't need to just pray when everything's bad. We need to be praying when everything's good, especially when everything is good. If anything's happening at Second Mile Church, it's because of prayer. You see, I believe in prayer because I believe in God. Amen? And so, this self-sufficiency always leads to prayerlessness. And so, you know what? I think God's just waiting for us to really get together and pray. 36 men, 36 Israelites lost their lives that day because they had failed to pray. And the reason they failed to pray is because they had gotten self-sufficient. Pride had seeped in. And I want to tell you what, pride will dam up the rivers of revival in our life. Pride will cause us to miss God's best. And I, for one, do not want to miss God's best. Is anybody with me? Can I get a witness? And so when you've got sin in the camp, it's normally the result of pride and prayerlessness. Here's the third thing, and here's the meat of the message. Here's what I wanted to get to. Sin has to be uncovered. Ooh. You know, I wasn't looking forward to coming here and telling y'all that today. But you know what? If I really do love you, I've got to give you the undefiled truth from the Word of God. Sin has to be uncovered. Look at verse 13. Joshua's absolutely shocked. Now listen to what God tells him. He says, get up, sanctify the people, and say, sanctify yourselves for tomorrow, because thus says the Lord God of Israel, there's an accursed thing in your midst, O Israel. You cannot stand before your enemies until you take away the accursed thing from you in the morning. Therefore you shall be brought according to your tribes. And it shall be that the tribe which the Lord takes shall come according to the families, and the family by which the Lord takes shall come by households, and the household which the Lord takes shall come man by man. Now let me just tell you what God's doing here. He says, Joshua, I want you to call all the 12 tribes together, and he wanted them to be paraded before Joshua, tribe by tribe, family by family, household by household, man by man. And he said, I will show you who's responsible for this. And why is God doing it this way? Because I think God's trying to teach Joshua and Israel a lesson. God, there's some things God can't do. Oh, doesn't that sound blasphemous? But there's one thing God can't do. And He can't bless Cal Hampton when Cal Hampton is in sin. And He can't bless you when you're in sin. If you want God's blessing, man, just get obedient to what God tells us to do in His Word. Y'all, that's good preaching. Hard for me to say, but I stand here as one guilty before God, but I also stand here, His grace is so sufficient for us. Now, so I want you to think about old Achan. Remember him? Whew. Can you imagine what's running through his mind? The next morning, here come all the 12 tribes. I imagine Joshua standing up there in front of, just in my mind's eye, just standing there looking at everybody, and they marches them in front of the tabernacle, and here comes the tribe of Issachar, and then the tribe of Dan, and then the tribe of Naphtali, and then the tribe of Reuben, and all the 12, and then the tribe of Judah. And then the family of Zerah. And then the household of Carmi. And then the man named Achan. What do you think's running through his... The closer he gets up to the front of the tabernacle, Joshua, he's thinking, you know what his mind must have gone back to? That dark night in Jericho. When he's rumbling through the debris of Jericho, and all of a sudden, Bird, he saw one of those Armani suits. Woo! That looked good on me. And then he sees some silver and some gold. And he thought, you know what? We can sure stand some of that. And the Bible says, look what, I believe it's verse 16. No, that's not it. Here it is, verse 19. Joshua said to Achan, my son, I beg you, give glory to the Lord God of Israel and make confession to Him and tell me now what you've done. Don't hide it from me. And Achan answered Joshua and said, indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel. This is what I have done. When I saw among the spoils a beautiful Babylonian garment, 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold weighing 50 shekels, here it is, I coveted them and took them. And they are... there they are, hidden in the earth in the midst of my tent with all the silver under. So when he saw the goods, the possessions, the stuff, the things, he wanted them. And I just want to park right here and say, there ain't nothing wrong with having stuff. And there's nothing wrong with enjoying stuff. And it's okay to have stuff. How many of you like stuff? But I want to tell you, if stuff has you, then it's wrong. That's breaking the 10th commandment, covetousness. And that's where Achan got in trouble. Now, he sees that beautiful Brooks Brothers Armani. I don't know what it was, but it was a good-looking piece of threads. And he thought, boy, that sure looked good on me. And so he snatches that thing up and takes it to his tent. And then he looks around to the left. And he looks around to the right. And he looks back over here. And he looks back over there. And he looks out. Nobody's looking. You know where he should have looked? Oh, that's good, right? And he grabs all that silver and gold and takes it to his tent. Puts it in the ground and hides it. I'm sure all this is running through his mind as he's getting closer and closer to Joshua. Can I just tell you what the Word of God says about sin in my life? Numbers 32:23 says, be sure your sin will find you out. And listen to this scary verse. Romans 2:16 says, there's coming a day when the Lord Jesus will uncover and judge our secret sins. And then Proverbs 28:13 says, he who covers his sin will not prosper. Achan's about ready to jump out of his skin. Wouldn't you? I mean, he's, oh no. And the closer he gets, the quicker his heartbeat gets, the more sweat's breaking out on him. And then he gets up there and Joshua confronts him with his sin. Now, I know what some of y'all are thinking. Oh, he confessed his sin. He's forgiven. Wrong. Achan is one of these who confessed his sin because he was so sorry that he got caught. Judas did that. King Saul did that. Pharaoh did that. There's a difference between worldly sorrow and godly sorrow. We call godly sorrow repentance. And what Achan should have done is before he ever got up and got confronted and called out by Joshua, what he should have done before he ever got up in the front of the line was gone back to his tent and dug all that stuff up and brought it up to Joshua and thrown it down and said, I have sinned against God. I've sinned against God's people. Oh, please forgive me. And right then he'd have been forgiven. Right then. But that's not what happened. And I want to say this to us this morning. If you try to cover your sin, God's going to uncover your sin. But I've come here today to tell you, if you'll confess your sin, God will cover your sin with the blood of His Son. Did y'all hear that? Y'all didn't get that over here, did you? If you'll confess your sin, God will cover your sin with the blood of Jesus. And there's another thing God can't do. God can't see your sin through the blood of Jesus. Y'all hear me talking to you? Sin's serious with God. It's so serious that He put His Son on the cross. You read Isaiah 53 when you get home today. He killed His Son because of my sin. And I think I'm going to get by with my sin? No siree. And so repentance means you confess, you turn your back on, you forsake, and you walk away. And you receive God's forgiveness and cleansing. That's what repentance is. True, godly repentance. Not just saying I'm sorry. Are y'all with me? Hope we're learning something here. Sin always leads to death. Separation. And what takes place next? I told you sin affects everybody. And some of y'all, when I first read this, I didn't like it. But when you read verses 24, 25, and 26, you know what happened to Achan and his whole family? They were taken down into the valley of Achor, which is the valley of Achor means trouble. They were taken down into the valley of trouble. And there they were stoned and cremated. And then they built a memorial, a monument to remind the children of God, you've got to be willing to confess and turn from your sin. And by the way, we have a memorial like that today. You know what it is? It's the cross of Jesus Christ. It's His cross. And what some of us need to do today, or maybe all of us, is go to an old rugged cross somewhere and confess our sin and agree with God about it and uncover that stuff and express to God how brokenhearted you are, that it's separated us from Him, and thank Him for what His Son did for us. And forsake that sin and don't go there anymore. And you can do that because you have that power of the resurrection deep down in your spirit. Could it be that God's waiting on Second Mile Church to get right with Him so that our city can come to faith in Him? Could it be? Let's pray. Father, this hadn't been an easy message. If I'm going to be honest, I would have rather have done a lot of other things this morning. But Lord, when I look back at my own life and I see how You have picked me up when I've fallen, there was always consequences, but there was always forgiveness. And so God, I thank You for the great blessing of forgiveness and cleansing that's available through the shed blood of Jesus today. And I pray, Lord, for my brothers and my sisters. Lord, if there's anything in our lives today between us and You, oh God, help us to uncover that sin and confess it and repent of it, to turn from it and forsake it, so that it can be covered by the precious blood of Jesus. And Lord, if there's one or two or 10 or 20 here this morning that have never by faith trusted Christ, who've never really said, save me, forgive me, and by faith look to Jesus as the only means of salvation, well, I pray today that today somebody might turn from death unto life, they might become a believer in Christ Jesus. You do what only You need to do right now, Lord. This time is Yours. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's all stand. If you have business to do with the Lord today, we want to ask you to just, our altar is always open here at Second Mile. We have prayer partners. We'd love to pray with you and for you. Oh, what will somebody think? Who cares what anybody thinks? All that matters is, what does He think? What does He think? And if you were standing before Him today, what would He say? That's all that matters. So you come if you need to, as we sing.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.